Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Dungeons & Dice is brought to you this week by Greenlight. As your kids are getting older, some things about parenting get easier. Like what?
You don't have to clean their poop out of their
butt. Hopefully.
Yeah. Hopefully. But, Will, you know what is coming up?
What?
Money conversations. And the fact is, kids won't really know how to manage their money until they're actually in charge of it, and that's where Greenlight can help. Greenlight is a debit card and money app made for families. Parents can send money to their kids and keep an eye on kids' spending and saving.
Freddie, I plan on teaching my son everything he needs to know about money by absolutely destroying him in a game of Monopoly that goes for 10 hours.
Well, maybe put away the Monopoly board and go with the Greenlight app, where you can teach your kid how to learn to save, invest, and spend wisely thanks to games. That's a game. Yeah, it's got games to teach money skills.
Should it have Wall Street Kid on there? I love
in
Wall Street
fun,
Kid.
In a fun, accessible way.
Hate to break it to
finally,
you,
finally, a way to avoid Gen Alpha putting all their money down the skibbity toilet.
The Greenlight app also includes a chores feature where you can set up one-time or reoccurring GATs customized to your family's needs and reward kids with allowance for a job well done. Did you guys get paid an allowance when you were a kid?
Yep.
What was the allowance? I had to mow the lawn.
I had to empty the dishwasher, and then, like, that was it, I think, for...
You had to do, Beth?
You just had to mow the lawn.
I had the big lawn. Suburbs.
Big dishwasher. I had a lot of chores. It wasn't, like, one chore. It was, like, I just had to clean and stuff.
My parents had kind of Skinner box thing going on where, like, I would just do chores and occasionally I would get to buy something. And that was the real way
that's
to keep your kid doing those
you
chores.
You had company script
the,
that they made
the
you
the intermittent
in.
Reward thing.
Yeah, exactly.
I learned like a little dog. Yeah.
We go to the mall. Maybe we go to KB Toys. Maybe not.
Millions of parents and kids are learning about money on Greenlight. It's the easy, convenient way for parents to raise financially smart kids and families to navigate life together.
Tell me there's an easy, convenient way to raise kids?
Financially responsible kids.
Financially responsible ones. Sign up for Greenlight today and get the first month free when you go to greenlight.com/dungeons. That's greenlight.com/dungeons to try Greenlight for free. Greenlight.com/dungeons. Dungeons & Dice is brought to you this week by Bespoke Post. This spring, the best box you're going to open up is the Bespoke Post box. The box of awesome is filled with carefully chosen gear from the best small brands from around the world. I just got mine
today. You got some jams.
I got some jams and jellies. I got a delightful Keen's paste. A chair said I should throw on a quesadilla.
A quesadilla?
With some Keen's paste.
Well, Keen's quesadilla is quite good.
The Box of Awesome has you covered. To get started and be eating like a king like I will be, to get started, take the quiz at boxofawesome.com. Your answers help them pick the right Box of Awesome for you.
I got some little sticks. They smelled real good. It was like not incense,
just
but it's
sticks?
Like so little, just... the little sticks that you put them in the room and they make the room smell good.
Was that the only thing in them?
There was like a little thing that you put the sticks in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like a diffuser.
A diffuser. That's what it is. God. It's the sticks that make your room smell good.
Like, nice. The sticks that make it. What are you talking? It's free to join and they release new items every month. They release new flavored sticks every month across a ton of different categories. When you become a member, you have access to seller discounts across a plethora of products too. We're talking about 30% or more sometimes. Plus, with each Box of Awesome, you're supporting small businesses. 90% of everything that comes in your Box of Awesome is from a small up-and-coming brand. You're used to this by now. Free to sign up, skip a month, cancel anytime. Get a free mystery gift with your first monthly shipment when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code DUNGEONS at checkout. This is such a mystery gift, we don't even know what it is. So tell us what it is. The boxofawesome.com code DUNGEONS for a free mystery
gift. Can I get this mystery gift as a member of the podcast? Do I have to sign up for it?
You're going to have to sign up at Box
of
Awesome.
I never want to know something so bad as what this mystery gift is.
Box of Awesome.
It better not be my jean jacket, Bespoke Post. It better not be everyone's getting a copy of my cool jean jacket that I got from Bespoke Post.
Why is it they made it like the Will Campos edition?
I'm already wearing the Will Campos edition.
Boxofawesome.com, code DUNGEONS.
Dungeons & Daddies is a rowdy, horny, violent podcast for grown-ups. Content warnings can be found in the episode description.
His name is Glenn Close. He's a rock and roll Christmas cover band dad slash bard incarcerated in the meth bay Supermax a few days ago.
He has no identity as a father in the United States or Faerun. Parentally speaking, he does not exist.
Fatherly decisions have a way of coming back to haunt you.
Glenn Close, for the crime of being a bad dad, I sentence you to a life sentence in time jail.
The dad they replaced you with becomes your greatest threat.
Battery of VX gas rockets is presently deployed for a highly lethal strike on the population of the San Francisco Bay Area.
Dad, you do the best impression of Brigadier General Francis Hummel, played by Ed Harris, my favorite character from The Rock.
And the dads that totally suck compared to you become your only hope. Henry Oak.
Daryl, are you sure you're ready to bust Glenn out of prison?
I'll do my best.
Your best? Losers are always going on about their best. It's really a toxic mindset. You know, we really need to rethink the whole loser-winner paradigm. You know, I read a great piece about that in The New Yorker.
Daryl Wilson.
Listen, I'm just a stay-at-home coach dad. I drive a Honda Odyssey, a white one, so why don't you just cut me some freaking slack?
Ron Sampler.
Do you like the Elton John song Rocket Man? Well, I don't, because maybe he has time to go up in rockets and talk about being a man, but I am a man. I'm a businessman. That's why I like the song Taking Care of Business, also by Elton John.
And that new guy, Jodie Foster, who sucks.
I will not give that order!
I will not repeat that order!
I will not give that
what
order!
What the hell is wrong with you, man?
Hey, language, buddy.
Sorry, Dad, this scene just gets me so pumped!
This summer, all that stands between Glenn Close and Oblivion is my own damn self.
That's right, I'm busting out of here, buggers!
Welcome, everyone, to Dungeons and Daddies, not a BDSM podcast. This is a D&D podcast about forefathers from our world flung into a fantastic realm of magic, wonder, and glory in a quest to rescue their lost children.
Jimmy, you're doing better voices than us, too. Like,
no, better voices than you, Freddie. He's taking your job right now.
Yeah, it's not that fucking hard.
And let's not forget, we're hanging out with our flavorful friend, Glenn, as well.
Guest of the show.
My name is Jimmy Wong. I play the fictional father, Jodie Foster. I make sure to say fictional now because of Will, because I want to make sure that no one confuses what I'm doing here with reality.
Now, Jimmy, is this one of these things where, like, you're saying fictional because we're going to find out that Jodie isn't real later on, and then you were like, I said he was fictional the whole time. It was right in front of your face.
That would be so cool.
I'm putting all my chips in on that. I'm saying right now that's what's going on and I'm calling it.
Anyway, my dad fact this time around, the first time Jodie ever smoked a cigarette was to prove to his son Nicholas just how uncool it was. And so he was like trying to play it cool and being like, yeah, you might see kids in the back doing this. And he like took a long drag, but had literally never smoked in his life. He just accidentally like inhaled too much smoke. It got stuck in his stomach. Basically, the entire thing really did prove how uncool it was just because Jodie looked awful doing it. And he hacked up a lung afterwards.
So that was like the first time he smoked cigarettes?
Yes. Yes.
What if he like fucking loved it? What if he like, he's like, oh, now I see the appeal.
What person loves a cigarette the first time they smoke it?
These menthols go down smooth.
He's been chasing that high ever since. You can't tell anyone.
Yeah, exactly.
What a square cop. Okay. Never smoked a cigarette. Does he drink?
Yeah, he'll sip on stuff, but he's not like a heavy drinker.
That's a line before bed.
Yeah, he'll sip on stuff.
Well, he read online that red wine is really good for you, so he just always has.
And
it's not great. It's box wine sometimes, just because it's, you know, more affordable.
Franzia,
oh,
dude.
Yeah, Jodie's a Franzia mom, just like me.
I feel like Jodie has one wine glass that he's got like a name on it, you know, like Big Mama or something, and that's like the only thing he drinks out of.
Just says no whining.
That's amazing. No, he definitely like went on eBay and bought the My House, My Rules or My Coffee, that mug from Knives Out. He thought that was amazing too. Yeah, he immediately bought it.
Hey, Jimmy, it's one dad fact per fact, please. Yeah. Save that heat.
You know,
I'm
gonna catch up. Y'all are like at 52.
Yeah, he's
got
to catch up
now.
He's got to stack them.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. My name is Matt Arnold. I play Daryl Wilson, a stay-at-home coach dad who becomes a barbarian upon entering this magical, fantastical world of elves and goblins and swords and axes. So, a little dad fact for you, a little Daryl fact. I just thought I was going to just keep it simple. So Daryl, kind of going to the hygiene world. It's been a while since we've talked about our various hygiene.
I mean, he was farting in beds like two episodes ago. So
That's not about hygiene.
Hey, you're right. It's not hygienic.
Look, when you categorize my dad facts, that goes in the bedroom games category, not the hygiene category. This is a hygiene one.
I've already established that falls under the category of respect and the lack of it.
So, sort of like Henry, Daryl doesn't shower or he doesn't bathe.
Oh.
Daryl's favorite thing is he does what he likes to call a tropical waterfall, which is showering and bathing at the same time.
What?
See, he likes to put a little, he fills up the bathtub a little bit, and then he likes to sit in it and turn on the shower. And then when you let the drain go, it kind of equalizes like as much water goes as drains. And then he just closes his eyes and he likes to pretend he's in a different place. He's in the Caribbean. He's in a little pool and there's a waterfall showering on his head. It's like one of his favorites, like the way he meditates. It's very nice.
I used to do that. And then when I heard that one guy on Reply All does it, I was like, okay, we get that a lot of people do this. It doesn't mean that it's right to think about fucking 45-year-old man doing it.
Now it's not cool.
It's definitely not right. You're like wasting twice the amount of water, right?
But when I was like 12, like it was fine. But like to think of a grown man doing
it's like he's like a sexy lady under a waterfall kind of move. Like,
I mean, that's
like,
not what he's thinking about. He just,
throws his hair back.
He likes to be in a bathtub. He likes the feeling of water around him. He likes the feeling of water falling on his head. It's just, it just feels nice. Right.
That's actually twice as much bathing and showering as Henry
does. Yeah, exactly. Way more.
Yeah,
it's very clean.
Hey, everyone. Speaking of Henry, I'm Will Campos, nay Billy, and I play the fictional character. What is Nay? Is that like you
it's
got
your original maiden name prior to marriage?
Oh, I see.
Sorry.
Okay,
well, I thought you said official instead of fictional, and I really like the idea of you saying official.
Yeah, I like that too.
I like that. I'm Will Campos. I am the official voice actor for Henry Oak.
Nice. Cover your bases now.
Oh boy.
Henry's a crunchy, munchy, Birkenstock rocking, granola nature druid dad, and he's from a magical fantasy realm originally. That's one of the things about him. That's not the fact today, though. Today, guys, I don't know if you know this, but the big game is coming up. Everyone, by the time this episode has come out, has listened to the big game. They know that the
Tampa Bay Buccaneers
won the game. this is a perfect timing to tell you Henry's favorite joke of all time. The joke he loves to make more than anything is when it's big game time, he'll go to a Super Bowl party because his brother-in-law, Ricky Garcia, always throws a big Super Bowl party. And Henry always comes and says, oh, yeah, I already saw the Super Bowl. It was a Western screech owl over by my house. Oh, I'm sorry. I meant that superb owl I saw earlier. And he laughs and laughs and laughs. Later on, he's having a real good time. He'll talk about how, you know, he saw the owl at Hooters because it like it hoots, you know, like an owl.
I refuse to believe that Henry has a lot of sex. Like, I just absolutely. People act like it's so normal. Like, oh, I get it. Yeah, him and Mercedes, they have orgies and stuff. Like, there's no, I'm sorry. This is so, absolutely.
Sorry, orgies? There's no way.
There's no way that, I mean, okay, let me just say this. If anybody else made the superb owl joke, I'd be like, that's a riot. I fucking love that. Superb owl. What a great turn of phrase. To hear Henry say it, I'm like, no thanks. Like, get out of here with your fucking overeager superb owlness. Get out of here.
Oh my gosh.
My second fact is that Henry fucks a lot.
Damn, now it's canon. All right.
It's canon. Damn, you guys are, listen to Coming Tonight. It's canon, man. That's based on a real life experience.
He's like infuriatingly good at it. He's like incredible at it.
Yeah.
Like his eyes gloss over as he enters into a spiritual realm.
He goes into the avatar state.
When new people meet him for the first time, they're like, wait, really? This is the Henry you're talking about? We're having sex at his place? Like, just trust me. Just ignore everything he's saying now. Just trust me.
Hello, my name is Beth May, and I play Ron Stampler, emotionally detached stepfather and rogue. I'm actually the original Broadway cast of Ron Stampler. Today's fact about Ron, and I won't go into detail because I have a feeling it will probably be coming up soon. But Ron believes that only children can go to prison. Ron does not believe that adults are in prison.
What?
Interesting.
How is Ron under that impression exactly?
You might find out.
Does Ron not watch TV?
I mean, TV's made up. TV's fictional.
Got you there.
Yeah. Holy shit.
That was such a galaxy brain Uno trap reverse card play to fucking Matt's question I've ever heard in my life. That was amazing. That was incredible.
Hello, folks. My name is Freddie Wong. I play Glenn Close, the rock and roll, smooth talking, hard rocking bard of the group. This week's Glenn fact, the first time Glenn ever smoked a cigarette, it was to show Nick how cool it is.
That was the first time Glenn ever smoked a cigarette?
when he was already a dad?
I love
cigarette,
that.
Yeah.
That's so
first time.
He was I gotta make sure my kid's cool. Don't make the mistakes I did, son. Start smoking early. Yeah.
It's kind of sweet because he did. He's like wasn't addicted to cigarettes. It's like, well, I want to make sure my son's cool. I'm like, cool people smoke cigarettes. I've never done it, but I should really do it to show him.
Let me ask you this, dear listener. Who's the better father? The one who's lying to their son about cigarettes being not cool? Or the one who's acknowledging the reality of the world and preparing his son for the world to understand that cigarettes are in fact seen by society to be cool as fuck? Because if it wasn't, then there wouldn't be every movie featuring all the cool dudes smoking cigarettes.
Mm. What I'm most excited about post trial, and I'm excited to see what's been happening with Freddie and Anthony, because Freddie feels unhinged now. What I love about Freddie is like Freddie's not only doubled down on Glenn being good, Freddie's like, I'm gonna be Glenn and I'm good. Like, he's like, I'm cool as shit too. I think cigarettes are rad. Fuck everybody who doesn't like Glenn.
It's also like double jeopardy now. Glenn's already been convicted, so he can just keep adding horrible dad facts about Glenn. We can't try him again.
Mm. Yeah, pile it on, you know what I'm saying? All right.
I'm Anthony Birch. I'm your dad.
Hello,
my fact is, this isn't really a spoiler, but my sort of intent with putting Glenn into his own private side adventure that none of you could listen to is like, here's a chance for Glenn to really sort of self-analyze and maybe
you're kidding.
Shift in some way or sort of become more than he was.
You're kidding.
And you now know it's not a spoiler given his recent dad fact that none of that is even a little what happened. So I don't know. We'll see how this goes. All right, let's start. So when we last left you, you were attempting to sneak into the meth bay supermax. You beat up a bunch of guards, basically strong-armed one of them into walking you into the prison. And then when it came to the gelatinous cube that absorbs your weapons, you tried to bluff your way through it. It did not work. All the guards were summoned and they basically beat the crap out of you. They drag your limp bodies through the first floor of the supermax. Would anyone like to like roll perception to see what you can sort of
glean? Are we unconscious?
Are we not knocked out, Anthony?
I'm going to say instead of being unconscious, because that's just not interesting role-playing wise, you're not knocked unconscious. You are knocked to the point of uselessness.
Okay.
They basically beat you up and you're...
They beat us silly.
They beat you
we're
silly.
We're badly concussed. We all have brain damage now.
Please, please put me on my misery. I wish I was
would
unconscious.
Would you rather be unconscious? You
so
can just
much.
Wake up in your cell.
So what can we roll here? Insight?
You can roll perception.
I will do this. I'm going to get that natty one. Okay, back to sleep.
Right back to sleep.
I feel like Joe, his one is he thought he saw everything, but he was dreaming. Like, he was not actually awake.
Mm. He was fully in the dream state.
In the dream, he was like Jason Bourne. Like, there's three exits, two guards. That guy's carrying, you know, like, blah, 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 blah. But he's still asleep. He hasn't realized that he's dreaming yet.
Daryl sees Joe open his eyes for a split second and then close them. He's like, well, he didn't see anything. Let me take a look. I got a 1+1, so I rolled a natty one also.
You also got a nat one?
So I didn't see anything.
Anthony Henry popped his eyes open and saw something because he got a 20.
He got a 20.
And I got a 2, so, you know.
Nice.
Okay.
Wow. Nice. So three people got like 1s or 2s.
Yeah.
So Anthony, the answer is we're unconscious.
Yeah. So three of you unconscious. Only Henry is awake enough to sort of get a good sense of what's going on. So Henry, you can see that as you're pulled in to the first floor of the meth bay supermax, there's a big open area to the left that the guards are dragging you toward. This is where the panopticon is. This is what you heard about from Carrie, the guard. Mm-hmm. And you see the large spire of the elevator that is in the center of the room. On the other side of the room, you can see a set of double doors, and one of the prisoners is pushing a big bin of what looks to be a bunch of bags of garbage and stuff like that.
Ah, yes.
Their face-off boots are clonk, clonk, clonk on the ground as they're pushing it through the doors, and then they come back out without the cart anymore. You also see some people mopping and sweeping up stuff. There's a lot of, like, muck on the ground that smells like it was edible at some point. Like, it almost looks like, like, your immediate thought is like, oh, is that poop? Because it's like a big pile of stuff, but there's a lot of big piles of this stuff everywhere on the ground, and it's not poop, but people are pushing it into a dustpan. Some people are coming by, sticking their finger into it and then licking their finger.
It's like you're at an Arby's, am I right? Boom.
Hey. Oh no.
That's basically everything that you can see as they drag you into the elevator. They take you up 5 flights, and they pick a seemingly random prison cell that happens to be empty to throw you into. So you can see to the left of your cell, when you're facing the cell as a guard would, you see a very small humanoid, and it's got a long mane of like black hair, and it's just doing like push-ups over and over again. And you can see just from where you're looking that it's pretty jacked. They throw you into your cell. while everybody's unconscious, they slap the face-off boots onto them that are, if you haven't seen, I keep referring to those face-off boots, assuming everybody knows what those are. They're big metal boots that you immediately feel heavier upon having them on your legs.
Henry's in still kind of a daze. He's like, don't touch my stocks. No, my stocks, oh, my Berks.
Thankfully, they go over your stocks.
Okay. I was going to say they were going to have to roll a constitution smell check if they were going to take Henry's Birkenstocks off. That was my secret escape plan.
So yeah, they put these boots on you. And then after all the boots are on all of you, one of the guards raises her wrist to her face hole and goes, testing the face off boots on cell B26. And you feel zoomp as your boots magnetize to the ground and you cannot move. And she goes by and like shakes each one of your bodies to see if you can move, and you can't. And she goes, all right, that works. Finish the test. It's all good. Turn back off. And then zoomp, and you can start moving around again. The guards leave the cell. They close the door. And all of you wake up.
Guys, wake up. We're in a jail.
Again.
Did anyone see anything?
Is everyone okay? Does anyone feel like they have a concussion? Daryl, how many fingers am I holding up?
What? Three.
Okay, that's great. I'm holding up three fingers.
These look like face-off boots. Have you guys ever seen Face Off?
Yeah, at the trial, they brought up Air Force One. They watch a lot of the same movies here as we do.
Oh, my goodness.
And they seem really into them because, like, what actually happens, like,
trial,
in our world,
they're
just movies.
You brought up Air Force One. Not
this
them.
World,
you were the one that brought up Air Force One.
But in this world, they really seem to, like, integrate the movies into
it's
their...
It's like the people in this world just kind of say yes and to the things that the humans say.
Hey, Henry, I saw three fingers, too. Does that mean that I'm Daryl now? Because... Daryl answered three fingers, or is it just that there were three fingers and I could have answered?
Yeah, guys, Ron seems pretty normal.
Okay.
Yeah, so I managed to, you know, I'm pretty good at pretending to be asleep. You know, that's how I keep an eye on the kids sometimes, you know, because they're more likely to,
wait,
you know.
Wait, really?
Well, yeah, you know, if I'm just up and about, you know, they get the shh, dad's here face going on, and then they'll hide whatever hijinks they're up to. But sometimes if I pretend to be asleep, I can catch them doing whatever, you know, crazy thing they were going to do.
I'm no Joe D. Foster, but that sounds like entrapment.
I'm gonna have to side with Ron on this one.
Oh, wait, Peyton, you're here too. Oh,
I've always been here, baby.
Oh, Peyton.
Oh,
buddy.
Geez, wait, Peyton.
Nicholas here too?
Yeah, no, I'm here too. It's me, Nicholas. I'm also here.
Oh my gosh, are you okay? They clubbed us so hard. I'm immediately checking on the health of Nicholas right now to make sure that he's not heavily injured.
Fucking Nicholas forgot that Nicholas was here.
Does Ron say that out loud?
No, that's bad.
Nicholas has a bump on his head, but his pride looks more hurt than anything. He's like, I feel like I could have taken them on if we just had a little bit of the element surprise.
No.
If they hadn't tried to talk their way through and mess that up, we don't have your gun anymore. We don't have
it's
your
okay.
Class 17.
It's okay. Look, as we've learned, you just can't trust them to do anything, really. So we just got to roll with the punches, literally, in this case.
Hey, are you two talking, the pronouns you're using, are you talking about us or are you talking about the guards? Who are you talking about? Are you saying
you?
You don't-
I'm talking about, well, not you.
Wait,
this
what?
Time,
I mean,
get
him, Dad.
I think
get
Ron
him. He's punching the air.
You know, not
Ron
to-
Ron kind of blew the cover this time around. I mean, I could have done a better job. I should have just let them take my weapon. So that, you know, I'm going to take the responsibility for this one and put it on myself.
You know... In the spirit of the big game, let's not play the blame game. Maybe I can propose a little joke. We'll all get laughing and we'll all be on the same page again. Hey, Nicholas, now that you're in jail, you're Nicholas Caged. Get it? Like, there's a film actor, I believe, named Nicolas Cage, you know?
Dad, do you know how to make a shiv?
Son, we are not going to recreate any of the movies we watch at home. It's a good joke. I actually liked it. Good one, Henry.
Hey, thanks. Ooh,
I just assume that's
being sincere because nobody laughed, and it's weird when someone just says good joke. But, you know, we're all on the same page here. We're all on the same team. And
Peyton goes, psst, I can teach you how to make a shiv, by the way. But anyway, no, keep going, Henry. Sorry.
Peyton, nope.
Peyton just starts making a shiv already. He has one. He has like three.
I pull Peyton aside. Peyton?
Yeah, what's up, baby?
Not teach Nicholas how to make a shiv. Or pretty much, you know what? I just don't want you talking to Nicholas that much in general. Just, he's not a good influence on you. I thought for a moment that maybe this guy was doing a better job than Glenn, but like these last few seconds have made me question that. So just like...
Hey, Daryl, it's a small cell. I can hear everything you're saying.
So can I. Nicholas here.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay. Sorry. I'm just talking about the fact that your son just asked to make a shiv because Henry here just made a nice joke. You know, maybe not a funny joke, but not one that's worth killing him over.
I wasn't going to use it on Henry. We just might need to defend ourselves. That's all.
All right.
How do we know if Glenn's here, maybe? We could just yell out like, hey, Glenn.
Oh, that's a good idea.
You know, that's actually a good idea.
What if we all yell Glenn at the same time? That'll probably our voice will travel the most, right? So
I scream Glenn multiple times very loud.
Okay, so Glenn, where you are, nothing changes and you don't hear anything. It's like
just,
nothing happened.
Business as usual.
Well, maybe he's not saying anything because he doesn't know who, you know, maybe he's been through a lot and he doesn't trust.
Maybe you identify yourself.
Yeah, so, hey, Glenn, it's me, Ron Stampler.
I'm repeating everything Ron is saying, but I'm screaming it.
So the cells have like solid stone walls separating one cell from another. The front is, you know, iron bars. As you shout, it's me, Ron, you see a hand holding a small cracked mirror jut out from the adjacent cell, and reflected in that, as they try to look into your cell, you can see like one very muscular eye looking at you, and the voice goes, "Is hi, I'm Juan Indel. I've heard about your music. Some of the fellas do a cappella versions during lunch. It's a pleasure to meet you."
Glenn, my God, buddy, what have they done to you?
Who's Gwen? I've heard a lot about Hi, I'm Juan and the company you keep. Sounds like some pretty bad dudes, if I may say so. You might be the kind of bad dudes I could use for a little plan I've been coming up with.
One second. Dad Hollow, real fast.
Hey, Daryl does not go into Dad Hollow, and he sits there. He's like, "Oh, hey, everybody, I think we should do a Dad Huddle." And then I kind of like signal, and I signal for Ron and Henry to kind of move towards me.
Oh, no.
Payne's like, "Well, I mean, technically, sorry. So, Nicholas, why don't you just hang out there? I'm going to go talk with the other daddies. Sorry."
Nick, you come in here too. I'd like everyone's opinion.
Thank you. Yes, I want to be involved. I am involved. I'm a member of this team. And of the members of this team, I'm the one who's gotten us arrested the least.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't know.
Wait,
who
I need to know, did
is.
Henry and Ron move towards me or do they move towards Jim?
I like to think that Ron stood making no effort to huddle with anybody, but between both of them, assuming that the huddle was just extremely large, just a room size huddle.
Very nice.
Henry is like a mirror image of Ron, but racked with anxiety and flop sweat about what to do. And Henry's like, okay, let's all, you know, this is not a productive energy. So maybe like we can just have a neutral huddle that nobody called. It's just the dad huddle. And we can kind of hash this out. I just, you know, we got to break out of prison. We got to rescue our friend Glenn. I just don't think we have time for this sort of intra-party politics, you know? Like, I think
the important thing is it's a dad huddle, right? So no Nick, right? We're all agreed on that.
Dad huddle plus just everyone in the cell. Let's just talk for a hot second. I don't know what's got everyone worked into such a tizzy over here. Look, I don't know who this person is. It looks like they might propose something more on the break more rules side. And I don't know, Nicholas got smacked on the head and I really don't want any more harm to come of us. I think we should just be a little wary going into this exchange, you know, understand what's happening, set some good boundaries and then go from there. How about that?
Boundaries is one of my favorite words. I think it's a really good word to use a lot. So I could go with establishing some boundaries. So, you know, maybe like one of our boundaries is we say, you know, we are interested in hearing what you have to say, but we are not confirming that we're going to join whatever you want to do. If that's okay with you, we'd like to hear the rest of your plan. You know, please.
Henry, you are sweating so much right now. Are you okay?
I'm really stressed out. It's been a while since I've been in a jail cell. I don't want to talk about it.
Henry went to jail for fucking too good.
Oh my God.
He went to sex jail.
Hey, Joe, with all due respect, I appreciate your advice. Thing is, I've been a dad a lot longer than you, buddy. So is everybody else. I mean, and then he looks at Nicholas.
Nicholas is like, I'm the same age as Terry Jr. What are you talking about? We're the same age.
Well, when you're a good boy dad, you get more years added. If you play video, let's hear what this guy has to say.
Nicholas rolls his eyes and nods, and he turns to Jody and he goes, he's probably got like another kid somewhere that he doesn't like talk to. Ron
okay.
Like,
okay,
that would mean I have.
Come on,
sex
come on. We talked about this. This is what we call stinky behavior. We can't get stinky. We're in a stinky situation. Everyone's gonna smell it, and you know we don't want to be like that. So let's talk about
shit,
that after.
Dude.
Keep it lean, mean, and clean.
There we go. Nice.
Daryl puts his arm through the cell and goes, "Hey, buddy, Daryl Wilson, just a companion of Hi, I'm Ron, just a sidekick, just, you know, not the full deal, but hey, nice to meet you."
Are you trying to reach out for a handshake?
Yeah.
So he goes, "Hey, but he can't quite reach. And he goes, well, it's almost lunchtime. I'll shake your hand then, as long as the gods aren't looking.
When he can't reach, he's like, you may not get a handshake, but I got this for you. And then I turn my handshake into a thumbs up.
Yeah.
So you can see my nice. Thumbs up hanging.
Yeah.
And he goes, I would do the same if I was not holding this meal, but thank you. I appreciate it.
Speaking of lunchtime, is there anything you can tell us at least about the schedule around here? We get meals every day?
Yes, we get breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Breakfast, you missed by about a couple hours. We do breakfast, then we do cleanup, then we do lunch followed by exercise while some people do cleanup, and then it's dinner, and then straight to lights out.
That sounds really well-balanced and kind of, it sounds like a nice place, actually. You get all your sort of needs met and everything. So I'm looking forward to our time here. Thank you. Perhaps maybe when you show us the strategy, we could make an interesting business plan out of it.
Okay.
Anyways, yeah, I'm pretty hungry, so.
Simultaneously, every guard in the panopticon with an identical voice goes, lunchtime! And all the doors open up.
Daryl runs.
I'm dry.
Escape.
Please, no.
Freedom.
The doors open up, but you can see everybody across the way from you, all the other cellmates. They trudge out to the area in front of their cells by the railing. Because remember, you're on the fifth floor, so you can basically see down four floors and up five more floors. And they go to the railing, and then they just look up, and they open their mouths.
Oh, my God.
I think...
What's...
I hold that sludge.
I hold Caden back, and I say, let's just stay in the cell, buddy.
Is this like a vegan meal? What goes into this that's coming out that I'm getting myself into here by opening my mouth? Like, what's going
to
happen?
It's all the nutrition that we need to stay alive. It doesn't taste great. Like, I remember when I was forced to, I did not want to... avail myself of it, certainly.
I lived on Soylent for a couple months. I can probably handle it.
Oh, man.
Henry sticks his mouth out and closes his eyes.
So if anybody cared to open their eyes, they would see the very top of this panopticon. It's like a big old chimney, essentially. There's an open top. You can see a shadow far off in the distance and high above you. And the shadow gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And eventually you see it is a very, very large bird.
Oh.
And the bird swoops down into the panopticon and starts flying in circles around. And its neck begins to contract and then extend and then contract and then extend. And it opens its beak and it just starts to feed chunks of something all around the prison. It descends as it does so it can hit every single level individually, just like going around in
a
circle.
Is this like Super Mario Sunshine where you're spraying the water pack?
It's actually exactly like that. That is the perfect visual metaphor. It stops flapping its wings and goes down and in a corkscrew going down and hits every level. And then it starts flapping back up as it flaps back up. And then it leaves the chimney and flies away.
Hey, you know, that's got some zip to it.
Oh, poor girl.
You know, it's not great. I've had better, but it's natural.
Natural.
It's from a bird. Like, that's good. So, you know, I could get used to this.
Do we see any other inmates?
Oh, yeah. You see tons of other inmates of every shape and size. It's like the Mos Eisley Cantina, all kinds of species, varying levels of hardness. Nobody here looks like as crazy dangerous as you might expect from a place called the Supermax. Like, you get the sense that this is for people like you that have done like relatively normie ass offenses. The cellmate next to you goes, I could take that head shake. What about now? And he puts his hand out for you, Daryl.
I put my hand out and I shake it.
Hey, how come you're in here and you're a grown up?
Well, I was younger when I came in. Being here
that makes
for a
sense.
Few years, so I grew up. You know?
My dad said that actually. Adults can't go to prison. So I was wondering, what's the cutoff? You know, when do you come in as a kid and then when do they let you go?
Ron, we're in prison. They put us in prison.
Yeah, Ron, that's actually one of the really messed up things about society is they can put pretty much anyone in jail for as long or as short as they want to.
But mostly kids, right?
I mean, there are, sadly, that is a thing that happens and it's not great, but anyone can get put in jail, whether they deserve it or not, honestly. Like, so it sounds like maybe your dad wasn't being entirely honest with you.
Yeah, I feel like Ron, over time, has become clear that most things Willie said to you aren't true, especially things that involve the possibility of maybe him going to and probably should have gone to prison is what I'm guessing that conversation was about. So yeah,
no,
I'm sorry,
it wasn't about him at all. It was that I almost actually went to prison when I was 7 because he wanted to watch some show and I wanted to watch, you know, a cartoon. And he said that if he caught me hiding the remote, I'd go to prison. And then he started talking about what prison would be like. And I was like, whoa. But you know, I almost did hard time, and so to see a lot of adults here, it means I could have done a lot harder time, and so I'm glad my dad let me off the hook with that.
No, Ron, dad's a piece of shit. No, your dad did not do anything nice to you.
Guys,
your dad was mean
going.
And he lied to you. Okay.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Dungeons and Dice is brought to you this week by Hims.
Oh, is that the one you use?
Hims is changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch.
Emphasis on cum.
Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options.
How do they know about my cum fort?
ED treatment. ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple, 100% online, no uncomfortable doctor's visits. You answer a series of questions on their site and the medical provider.
Why is that to be uncomfortable with your doctor?
Because my doctor's always like,
why do you need ED pills?
What's wrong with your dick? They shout at me.
Oh, does somebody's dick not work? Doctors
hard.
Are like that all the time.
Yeah, no, they just yell at me. They scream, get hard, and it is the only thing that gets me hard. So how does Hims help with that?
Answer a series of questions on their site, including, Matt, you'll probably use the long response option to sort of describe all of your things going on. And a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you for free. No insurance needed. You'll love this line, everybody. If ED is getting you down.
Aww.
It's time you join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers to get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/daddies. That's hims.com/daddies for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/daddies. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. Dungeons and Dice is brought to you this week by Etsy.
Ooh.
Etsy.
Let's see what's in store
today.
Listen up, listeners. We're here to tell you there's no reason to panic next time you're looking for a perfect gift. Now.
There isn't. Oh, thank God.
Now.
Oh, I can relax.
You ready for this? Gift mode on Etsy. Gift mode on Etsy.
I've always in gift
stress
mode.
Out of gifting, so you can find the perfect item for anyone on any occasion. Just tap or click gift mode on the Etsy app or Etsy.com. Answer a few short questions about who you're shopping for and what they like, and then gift mode instantly gives you curated gift ideas. Check it out. I'm right here on the site. Check it out.
Okay, let's find a gift for my dad.
Find a gift for Beth right now.
Okay, for my dad.
His interests are like not Beth.
Yeah.
Beth, would you say that's an Aquarius?
A Libra.
There's grooming gift boxes. Now, hold on. I know what you're thinking.
Keep your dad hairless. Keep daddy nice and smooth.
For a smooth daddy. They just pre-categorize a bunch of stuff. There's a lot of camo hats on this page, let
me
tell you.
Dude, okay, but those hats all say dad, and my dad doesn't want to do that.
But what about dada?
Now find a gift for me, because I'm sad.
Oh, wait, Beth, yeah.
What does Beth want?
What does Beth want?
A dad.
Beth!
You sound like a
90s kid.
Yep, that's me.
Handmade treasure set, gift tape, mixtape gifts. 90s sweatshirts and tees. Tons of stuff. If you need to find the perfect gift, don't panic. Try gift mode on Etsy now.
I step out to the rail and go, hey everybody, Daryl Wilson here. We're new. I'm Daryl. This is Ron. This is Joe. And this is Henry. Don't worry about the two children. You don't need to know their names. Not that I don't trust y'all. Y'all seem like wonderful people. any of you know Glenn? We're looking for a man named Glenn.
Roll persuasion.
Oh my God. That's a 7 -1, 6.
So everyone looks up at you and they like scowl and then they go back to eating. They just ignore you. But the person next to you, your cellmate, goes, When would Gwen have gotten heal?
Like a day ago? Guys, how long has it been?
A few days ago, yeah.
I'm losing my mind.
Pretty recent.
No, I don't think he's come into... This is what we call General Pop. I don't think he's shown up at General Pop. I probably would have seen him. Not a lot to do other than Monito to Cummings and Goings.
General
and
do, Pop, that's like Taylor Swift, okay. You know, Carly Rae Jepsen,
oh,
right?
No.
Like, you know, the stuff you'd listen to on like an easy listening station.
He's not like a murderer. He was convicted for being a bad dad. So like...
So as you say that, he gasps and his eyes get huge. And he goes, oh, no. That means he's in the maximum security ward. And also, as you said that, Nicholas goes, Glenn's not a dad. Why would he get convicted of being a bad dad?
We already explained it. He's got kids on the side. You know, he's got a weird lifestyle. That's why he's a bad dad. He's got a bunch of kids around.
No, you know what? That makes sense. That tracks. Yeah.
Wait, is that level one?
Oh, no. That's beneath level one. So the way it goes is it's level one is, you know, you came in, you saw that it's the trash. As he's saying this, they say, all right, time for exercise. And then everybody starts marching around in a circle and taking the stairs up or down, depending on what level they're on. So basically everybody's just marching. Mm-hmm. Just walk with me. Walk and talk with me.
Oh, here we go. Come on, guys. It.
Don't draw too much attention. But yeah, this actually comes into my stratagem, my plan. On the bottom floor, the very, very, very bottom floor, that's the maximum security wing. And then above that, there's like a locked door on the like level negative one. There's something important behind it. I've heard it from some of the guards that I paid off. I think it might have something to do with what makes our face-off boots freeze. And then on level zero or one, if you want to say like first floor, there's the trash chute going outside with the furnaces and the burners and stuff like that. And then everything above that is where we are in a panopticon. So my plan is to escape.
Wow, what a coincidence.
That's kind of what we'd like to do.
Yeah, that's what we want to do.
No, hold on. We're not trying to escape. We're trying to find Glenn.
Oh, boy.
Right? Yeah, Linux escape. We just got to step along the way. It's like in GPS, you're still like, I'm going to Target just because I'm stopping at an ice cream shop on the way doesn't mean I'm like not going to Target. Just, Glenn is just the ice cream shop on the way.
That says so much about Daryl's lifestyle.
Daryl thinks he deserves a treat before he gets to Target.
Yep. I thought there was something wrong that went with his case and we could just get out of here without having to escape. I mean, you heard about the other guy. He was all burned up. We can't risk that.
We're not going to do it like that guy. Did.
What did that guy do?
Oh, he stuck himself out with the trash and then tried to put as much like non-flammable stuff on him and then survived the burning as he went out with the trash. I guess it didn't work if you're saying that he didn't make it.
Doesn't sound like he made it.
Died. I mean, Joe, I don't think we're going to be able to talk. I mean, we've been arrested. The crime that we committed, according to them, we did commit, which was trying to sneak weapons into here. So like,
you know, Joe, I read a really great book once called Creativity Inc. It's about the creative process at Pixar. They're the studio that did Zootopia. And in the book.
Oh my God.
Fuck.
Oh
my That's the God. Four sales baby shoes never worn of Henry characterization.
In the book, they talk about how the way they made Zootopia so good was they'd bring up an idea, and then, like, you know, when you give a note to that idea, you also had to pitch, like, a new idea. So I guess I would say, like, if our Zootopia is to escape with Glenn, and you're not feeling great about that, like, I respect that, but, like, if you had to, like, pitch a new thought on what to do, like, what would that be, you know?
That sounds like a pretty toxic creative strategy, actually. it's just like, yeah, sure, I'll give you a dumbass suggestion on your idea, but what I really want to talk about is if I was in business with a business partner like that, I wouldn't do business with a business partner like that anymore.
So that's a great example. Ron criticized the original idea of the creative process, but then he plus one'd it by saying he wouldn't work at that company anymore, which I guess is his solution.
I would just love to talk to the warden or someone. Guys, we brought our kids in here.
Well, Joe, go ahead and try to talk to the warden.
Well, I mean, we got to do things as a team here, and I really do loathe the idea of leaving you all behind.
So what you're saying is you have an idea that you want to do, but you don't want to do unless we all want to do it, but you don't want to do any idea that we all want to do because you have an idea you want to do. That's not the way you compromise. That's not the way you cooperate, Joe.
I feel like we're not having much of a democratic process here. It just seems like we're both having this stinky behavior back and forth between us, Daryl.
We could vote about what we want to do.
We could also do both things. You know, I said, we got to keep up. The exercise line is moving, guys. And Henry gets into a brisk walk. Got to get my steps in. So,
oh, yeah, we shouldn't have stopped while we were talking. And I start walking too now.
God, this is great, isn't it? It's like, kind of like the West Wing. Listen, so what I'm thinking is, why don't we do both?
Because all I hear is clonk, clonk, clonk.
Oh, that's why we stopped moving. Yeah, we should stop moving so we can talk because it's very hard to talk over these.
Oh, that's
these
right.
Boots,
I'm exhausted.
Henry.
Oh, my God. This really is exercise. Don't read into this the wrong way because you just asked us if we want to escape prison with you. But could we talk to the warden? Do you know how we can do that?
It's gonna be very difficult for me not to weed into that pretty significantly.
It's just our friend here used to be a cop, and
okay, you know what? Never mind. Right, bye. You'll never learn what my name was or my plan. And he walks away.
Do you want to hear a song from?
Yes, hi, Ron, buddy.
So he, as he begins to walk away, you say that, and then he turns on one heel and then makes an abrupt 180. He goes, I could do with a little serenade.
Right. Come on, Ron. Come on, Ron. Save us here.
Well, see, the thing is that I was Hi, I'm Ron for a few episodes very early on, and then I kind of forgot that that was a thing about me. And but anyway, here's Wonderwall. And Ron sings Wonderwall.
You're not getting out of it that easily.
Damn it.
Good call, Ron. I'll back you up. And then Henry starts humming the part from that Woohoo song by Blur, which he thinks is
Wonderwall.
Oh, my
God. Should I roll for something?
Yeah, roll performance.
Well, I got 13.
Yeah, if you can do the first line of Wonderwall at a 13 level quality.
I got to back up. Jimmy, you've never heard my creepy talent before, have you?
Yeah, Ron, take it away.
Today is going to be the day that they're going to give it back to you.
So this little creature's eyes get extremely big and just filled with like amorous glee.
It's exactly as beautiful as I was told. Oh my goodness. If nothing else, you and I shall get out of here. I could get you out of here.
Actually, that sounds pretty... We all need to get out, including our friend Glenn. And then Ron kind of looks over to Daryl and Henry and does like a thumbs up like, did I say that right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did Ron not look at me?
No.
Sad.
Yeah, buddy, what's your name, by the way?
Ron.
Oh, I know your name's Ron.
My name is Sly Sylvester.
Ooh. Wait, Sly Sylvester?
But keep it on the Sly.
Oh.
Yeah. Again, the reason we were asking to see the warden is we actually heard that the warden was a big fan of Hi, I'm Ron. So we just thought maybe we could sweeten the deal and maybe try to get maybe that could be part of the escape plan, is maybe just go see the warden, just see what's up, see if we can get some intel. Maybe they'll be kind to Hi, I'm Ron over here.
So I guess roll deception, because that's not true.
If this is not Ron's Folsom Prism Johnny Cash moment, then I quit this podcast.
God damn it, I got 5.
Oh my God, all these garbage rolls.
I
don't know why you're lying to me.
I'll give it to you straight. Just because that guy wants to talk to the warden and none of us like his plan, or at least I don't like his plan, but I'm trying to be cooperative.
I think this is like one of those situations where we all work at Pixar in the zoo. We bought a zoo at Pixar.
Right.
So we're all in the zoo. I can't kick these people out of the zoo even if they drive me crazy. So we have to make other people in the zoo happy even if we don't respect them. Or
that sounds rough.
It is rough. So it's like, you know, we have to make all of these tiny little zoo dreams come true. But sure, if it ends up that we can go talk to the warden or pretend like we are for the sake of Joe, who does not own a zoo at all, if you know what I mean. It's not a real...
I like this episode. We're all like, we all hate Joe.
I'm getting a very clear understanding of the dynamic here.
If you want to see the warden often will visit with people who are like particularly problematic prisoners. Like problematic. Like don't go on that.
Don't look at me, Henry. Henry, I saw Henry look at me.
Daryl, it's time for your moment to shine.
If you do something that requires you to get a stone talking to, then yeah, you might see the warden. I mean, I guess you could try to convince the gods. I've never tried that because I don't see much of a point in
it. It does feel like we'd rather, especially Joe, for your idea, it feels like we'd rather see the warden on good terms, not because we were causing a problem.
True.
When you see people in that, bear with me, I feel like this doesn't get a lot of... It just feels like he would want to see us if he knew we had a castle. I know I keep saying that. It's just like, we have a castle. And I look up, like I feel like most of these prisoners don't have a castle. That's got to mean something, right?
Daryl's
like,
just maybe a he wants white to know- guy in a prison. Be like, no, you don't understand. I am yes,
absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I have a 401k.
Yep. He's
The spirit of Glenn would like to step in here and remind the party gently that if you have compromising photos of one of the guards... And if, as stated in the previous episode, one of those guards is in fact all the same guard because they are in fact descended from the same organism, then technically you have compromising photos of all of the guards.
But they they're not a cloud consciousness.
Yeah, so if I went up to you and I said, hey, I have compromising photos of your exact twin brother, Will Campos, who looks everything exactly like you, you're telling me that would hold no sway? If I got Billy Campos pics,
I thought I killed him.
Billy Campos?
Do we have the photos?
Let's say that the gelatinous cube just took away your weapons and they assumed that was going to be everything that was dangerous. Weapons or metallic objects or whatever the heck. So anything that seems useless, like a photo or whatever, they probably kept on you.
Okay, Daryl puts on a very indignant air and he goes, Guards, I need to see a guard.
Okay, so one of the guards stomps over to you looking as irritated as a gelatinous substance inside of a suit of armor can look. Goes, what is it?
Nice to meet you, Daryl Wilson. I hold my hand out.
She slaps it away. Keep walking.
Yeah, okay. Well, one of the owner of Book's Castle, you may have heard of it. We're rather wealthy. I understand that isn't a problem. It would behoove you to let us talk to the warden. I think we can make an arrangement with him or talk to him. We are very, very wealthy, and we do own a castle. I don't know if you know what a castle is like, but it's very big and very expensive.
I've seen a castle, thank you. So go ahead and roll persuasion.
Does anybody want to help me with that persuasion?
Not going to pull up the photos, huh?
Well, I'm going to check this first. If we can do that without them freaking...
Okay.
I will help Daryl persuade this person.
If you succeed at your check, Will, then Daryl will get advantage for his role. And if you fail, he will get disadvantage.
Okay. So I say, yes, Mr. Wilson is indeed the owner of Book's Castle. We're thinking of franchising to prison libraries and starting a whole chain. And it's something we'd love to talk to your warden about. We actually let ourselves get arrested so that we could do an inspection of the premises. And I have to say, this is one of the best darn prisons we've ever been to. So yeah. As I say that, I give the guard a jolly tap on the armor so that I can cast Charm Person.
Oh, great.
So yes, it's a wisdom saving throw of 17.
Natural 20.
Damn.
Sorry. So the guard goes, you start walking too. I've no interest. I've talked to a lot of people over a lot of years trying to find their way out of here, thinking they could jabberjaw me their way to freedom. But no, I don't think so. Keep moving. And she shoves you in the back.
Well, if talking won't work, how about this? And then Ron holds up the drawing, the thing.
Okay.
I'm going to step up with the drawing and I'm going to get right in the guard's face and go, look here, buddy. We have some pictures that make it look like you can't do your job very well. We just want to talk to your warden and we'd love for you to just take a good look at this and just give us what we need here, please.
All right, roll intimidation.
Give me. Natural 20.
Oh, shit.
Oh. 26.
Holy shit. Daryl steps back, intimidated also.
As you show this picture to the guard, you could hear a rattling, and then you realize the guard is shaking in its armor, and it, like, puts a gauntlet to its helm and just, like, holds its head there and goes, come with me. So Peyton goes, hey, the warden sounds like kind of like bad news, so I think I'm just going to keep walking around here, just get my steps in, get my reps in.
Yeah, keep guard on the guards, Peyton.
I'll guard the guards, baby.
Nicholas, watch over Peyton, all right?
Yeah, no problem. I saw him trying to build a shiv out of his shirt tag. I don't think that's a thing, but I'm make sure that he doesn't. You are led back downstairs to level one of the prison, and then you descend a flight of stairs. You can see that when you get off of this flight of stairs, there's another flight of stairs leading further downward, leading down to floor negative two that's got a door separating you from it. And then on this floor, you can see that there is a set of very large, very sturdy double doors to your left that are closed with signs that say do not enter all over it. And the guard walks you past that door toward a smaller door with a little window cut into it, and you can see light from within. He opens that door. Inside, you can see an elf wearing suspenders, typing hurriedly into a small magical typewriter, and then she moves away and does something else, and the typewriter keeps typing, and she's just up to her eyeballs in paperwork and is just sighing and just, like, rubbing her head and kind of overwhelmed looking. The guard steps inside and goes, I should look up a name. Give me a second. Didn't expect we were going to meet the warden. Sorry.
Elizabeth Warden.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Yeah, fuck it. Yeah, that's good. So the guard goes, Warden, there's some people here to see you. And Elizabeth Warden looks up and goes, why are people here to see me? I told you I'm very busy trying to come up with a plan to make this a more affordable prison. And I don't think it's appropriate that you should be interrupting me.
Hey, how you doing over there?
She points at one of you in the back. She's like, hey, over there.
Hey.
Points to another one of you in the back. Hey, over there. How you doing?
Oh, this is your warden?
Yeah, she's real nice.
Not what I would expect at all.
She ran for mayor of the town, but it didn't work. It was a real shame. Real shame.
Hey, guys, just a vibe I get. I feel like this warden, like, the idea of being rich isn't going to really help actually make us less.
Oh, my God.
So maybe let's play.
She was just saying she wanted to cut down costs. Maybe we can use some of our money to help her.
Oh, yeah, maybe we can talk about donating.
No, but play up the library angle. That feels like that would be...
Oh, library, yeah. She looks like a book nerd.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah. Public education.
So Henry says, wow, Miss Warden, it's so nice to meet you in your prison. I know you're super busy. We happen to be library enthusiasts that got ourselves arrested. I think that's what we said. To meet you so that we could pitch you the idea of adding a custom library to this prison of yours. Very cost efficient. The prisoners can learn all sorts of new skills from the books that they can, you know, be better, more model, you know, better prisoners.
We have Books Castle. We didn't like get it. We inherited it. And we should have totally been taxed on that inheritance.
Absolutely.
A lot. Believe me, we totally agree with you. But I'm just saying we have a lot of books that we'd love to, you know, yeah, that's why we're
as
here.
As you say, we should have been taxed on. She goes, oh, you haven't been taxed for a castle. I'll just take that tax right now. What do you have on you? So how much gold does the group have?
Oh, shit. Hold on, let me pull it up.
You should take the books, because it's a books castle, and so the tax should come out of the books, as I think.
And we always say books are more valuable than money,
there's
right?
So much, yeah.
We see a future where prisoners read and learn from books and they become model citizens. So what we'd like to propose to you is that we take one of your worst prisoners off your hands and then we can, you know, put them into our book internship learning program at Books Castle and we can show the world that there's a more efficient way to run a prison. Because look at it this way. If people are learning, they're not burning stuff. If they're reading, they're not bleeding each other with their shivs. If they're using knowledge, they're not gonna, you know, need to go do other jail stuff.
College?
Oh, it was right there.
They don't need to go to college.
It was right there.
Because college is too expensive.
4,015 gold.
4,000. So Elizabeth Warden asks one of the guards to bring her the money that they took from you in the gelatinous cube, let's say. And she goes, wow, 4,015 gold. Let me see. That is a nice little nest egg y'all have collected there. I'm very impressed. So little Liz Warren's just going to go ahead and take about 75% of that.
Oh, I knew it. Oh, my God. Of course.
I knew we should have put all of our money in the stock market.
Okay. So thank you so much for paying your taxes. First of all, you could go ahead and take
Henry
that
is suddenly
25%.
A hardcore Republican. Damn liberals so taking all my money.
So we have 1,003.75 gold left.
Evil dads, dragons, freaking criminals. So many people have taken out of my bed. At the end of the day, the person that took the most money from us was a goddamn socialist.
So the best way to open books is to get Glenn close.
What the fuck are you talking about? I've not been paying a tremendous amount of time. What the fuck are you doing in my office?
What I was saying was that we want to maybe pilot our book reform program with a really tough prisoner. And, you know, we heard you've got this guy, Glenn Close, your prison. We heard about his trial. It seems like he's a real bad dude. And we were thinking we could just take him off your hands. Why don't you let us take care of him?
Why don't you roll deception?
Come on, big bones. I got a 12. Would anyone like to assist Henry?
I'll assist. Let's see. What could I possibly say? Maybe you heard us say friend, but really that's because he's so scary. You know how sometimes you want to make powerful people feel important by calling them a friend or something, but the real way to knock him down a peg is to make him read a hard book. And so if he's not allowed to spark notes, Huck Finn or something like that, it really might bring back the humanity in him.
Okay, so why don't you roll deception as well?
I got a 6.
Oh, no.
Really sucking the rolls today. These are awful.
So she clasps her hands together and she goes, you mentioned Huck Finn. I have a book that I think your friend Glenn could read, which is called Fuck Him. you're not getting down there. It's not happening.
As she says that, you also hear an unfortunately very familiar voice behind you. And you can feel the waft of air from a fedora's brim vibrating
gross.
In space.
No.
And you turn around and you see Will actually leaning up against the doorframe, trying to look casual and failing. And he goes, well, actually, when you killed the library, ownership of his castle kind of immediately transfers to his closest relative, a.k.a. And he hooks a thumb at himself and he goes,
no!
So really kind of
my castle.
Yeah, go ahead, buddy. It has not helped us at all. Yeah, so go ahead and enjoy the castle. Nobody seems to give a shit about the castle. Why are you even here? Could you help us? What are you doing here?
Bye.
How did you get here? How did you break in? What are you doing away. Here?
And he's gone.
Oh, no.
Just like that.
He's gone.
So can we get our taxes back? That wasn't our castle.
So that wasn't our castle, ooh, yeah.
That's a real shame there. No.
We're going to file it under charitable giving.
There should be some sort of financial protection bureau that keeps us from getting scammed with these kind of onerous fees. It just seems like that should be a thing that exists.
That's a good idea. That's my idea now. That's a great idea. I want to write that one down.
Can we just talk for a second amongst ourselves? And
this
then...
is your last chance. My patience running thin. You don't want hey, Lizzie in a tizzy.
So, Joe, hey, this was your idea.
It, shoot your shot, Joe.
You got one more dialogue check against Elizabeth Death War, Dan.
I have no idea. Okay, so I am going to turn around and look at Liz Warden in the eyes. I need to ask you a couple of questions. I'm channeling my cop experience, and I'm going to cast a spell called Zone of Truth.
Oh,
it's a second level enchantment. Right, so it creates a magical zone that guards against deception in the 15-foot radius sphere, centered on a point of our choice within range. Anyone that starts its turn there or enters that has to do a charisma saving throw. If they fail, they can't speak a deliberate lie while within the radius.
Okay.
And I also don't know whether the creature succeeds or fails on its saving throw. If you're affected by it, Anthony, then you're aware of the spell and you can avoid answering questions to which you would normally respond with a lie. So you can be evasive in its answers as long as it remains within the boundaries of the truth.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
So you cast this, so everybody's in the zone, presumably, unless you centered it just around Elizabeth Warden.
Yeah, I think we're all going to be in it.
Okay, so everybody roll a charisma saving throw.
Holy shit.
And then don't tell me what the answer is.
Yeah, so it's charisma 14. So, Elizabeth, I need to know, why do you not like our associate Glenn Close?
First of all, a good move on the zone of truth. You can't really trust your elected officials unless you can really trust what they're saying. So, frankly, I welcome the zone of truth. I've made mistakes in the past. I've said certain things that ended up being not necessarily accurate about my background, and I've owned up to those things. So I'm happy to tell you that Glenn Close is in our prison because he was a bad friend. And there's only one place you go when you're a bad friend, and that's to the doo-doo room, the bad boy room. There's no doo-doo in it. It's just something I call it because that's what I use to my kids.
You use
it? I don't put my kids in prison. Sorry, no. I say when I tell my kids to go in the corner, I call it the doo-doo corner because they're
acting like
doo-doos.
I knew that kids went to prison. I knew it.
What is the doo-doo room?
The doo-doo room is our maximum security cell. It only holds one person at a time. It is it's in this building. It is protected by a whole litany of magical fields, and it is for life sentences. We tend to swap them out pretty quickly, have one in and another, but it's where we put the most dangerous.
Wait, what do you mean?
Why are you swapping them out?
How do you swap them out if it's a life sentence?
Well, one person goes in, they die of old age, we take them out.
Oh, no.
How long has Glenn been in there? Is he still in
How
the
long has Glenn
zone?
Been in the doo-doo zone?
The doo-doo zone.
I mean, it should be a couple days. It's only been a couple days.
So Glenn Close arrived a few days ago, and it's roughly like every day is like kind of like a couple of years. So
what?
Wait,
what?
Six, maybe more years, probably something like that. That's what it's felt like to us, to you and me here in non-poo-poo space. It's only been a couple days, but yeah.
The second she says that Glenn has been in prison for over 8 years, Henry just imagines his friend being stuck in a solitary cell for that long for being a shitty friend. And he can barely speak. He's so angry. Like, so Henry is just all of a sudden the chipper smile vanishes from his face and he is deadly quiet and trying not to turn into a bear at the slightest provocation right now.
Daryl, very much like Henry, is about to lose his mind. But for once, he's pretty certain because there's magical shit that if the stuff goes down now, they might just all go down. So he just does not want to waste time and just wants to get back to cell and find a way to heist.
Miss Warden, now that Glenn has been down there for so long, how do you get him out? How can we get him out if we need to right now, immediately, before any more time passes?
Well, I don't have to tell you that. It sounds like you're trying to break him out. It sounds like you're trying a little jailbreak. Frankly, I admire the gumption. But no, I'm not going to go ahead and tell you how to get somebody out of there. But generally, I can tell you the way that we get him out is we wait until their body decays to dust, as all things do, and then we take their corpse right out back through the door that we put them in there with.
I do not appreciate anything you've said. I am not a fan of you whatsoever. I cannot tell a lie right now. We are going to go back to our cell, and that is the truth, and there's nothing else I can say. Thank you very much. Guys, I think we should get out of here.
Before you go, can I get a handshake from one of y'all?
No, you can go fuck yourself. We're leaving.
Okay. Hey, guards, come in here real quick. Just grab one of their hands at random. Just put it on my desk real quick. And so two guards come in. So I'm going to roll D4. One is Daryl. Two is Ron. Three is Henry. And four is Jody.
So Henry gives Daryl like a glance like this could be a fucking rowdy sitch. Like, are you ready to throw it out?
Yeah, once she asks for the hands, yeah. Daryl's getting ready to get rowdy.
So the two guards come in and the warden goes, eeny, meeny, miny, that one, and points at Ron. And the two guards grab Ron's left hand and then slam it down on the table.
Wait, hold on. What are you doing?
The warden goes, oh, I'm going to show you the price of A, trying to escape, and B, wasting my time. So you're getting off a little easy on this one. Usually I take one hand for each, but today you're getting a two-for-one deal because you paid your taxes, and that should be well rewarded.
Time slows down and Daryl like glances at Henry and Ron, not Joe, glances at Henry and Ron like and is getting ready to try to grab something. Is there anything on the desk?
Yeah, there is a paperweight. There's a mug.
Paperweight.
That says best warden.
Grabbing a paperweight.
What does the paperweight look like? What's it a paperweight of?
The paperweight is, it's just a big rock. It's just a big ugly rock. And it just says, I fucking suck on it. That's what it says.
What?
You know what? It says world's worst mom from her
it
kid.
It says Lizzie Warden took an axe, gave her inmates 20 wax. It's a real, listen, guys, to all my fans out there listening.
Lizzie Borden, nice. Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, all you guys listening to Dungeons of Daddies right now that get that Lizzie Borden reference, just want to say I see you, I appreciate you, and hitting me up on Twitter being like, cannot believe they did not laugh at that Lizzie Borden joke. And I understand. I understand. I feel the same way.
If you gave me the power, I'm making this a bad mom. Not only does the rock say that, but she's so twisted that she's like, oh, you gave me a shitty rock? I'm keeping that on my desk because I don't respect the child. Nice. She sucks. She's a shitty ass mom. I hate her.
Wow.
She sucks. And I'm about to pick it up and kind of glance at Henry and Ron, like trying to signal, like, should I get rowdy right now?
Henry gives Daryl the official dad sign of like, if you're ready to start some shit, I'll back you up, which is the reverse up nod. The sup. The sup. Henry is supping to Daryl, he's also going to try to tap Ron on the back and cast stone skin to turn Ron's skin as hard as stone.
Oh, cool.
So he's going to simp for Daryl and get Ron rock hard.
Yeah, okay.
Love it.
All right. So she opens up her desk and you see her pull out a hatchet.
Okay.
Now, Ron, why don't you roll sleight of hand?
Hell yes. 19 plus 3, 22.
Holy shit.
In that desk, because I'm the DM now, in that desk, when you open it, you can quickly see a lot of letters from her kids, and they're all like, I hate you, Mom. I hate you. I know you keep these in your desk. That's why we're never coming back. We love Dad. We hate you. You're the worst mom. I'm mad that you're a prison warrior. You don't spend time with
your kids. It still feels like Elizabeth Warren is a real person to me.
Yeah.
So
she raises the hatchet, and as she sees you looking at those letters in her desk, she goes, those are all written ironically on backwards day. My kids love me. And she brings the hatchet down and you pull your hand out at the proper time and it slams. It just hits the wood on the desk.
Now I do feel bad, but I take the rock and I smash it down on Elizabeth Warden's arm.
Roll your attack. This is your surprise round.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. You know, is it horrible that I feel bad about hitting her in the face with the rock?
No.
This is what you get for making a fun pun title with a real person. Now you feel awkward about, and it stops you from doing what you need to do. It's all fun and games when David Boreanaz is drunk and having a good time, but when you gotta fucking throw down, now you feel awkward. No, this is D&D. All bets are off.
Jesus Christ, I got a one. What the
Woo. Okay, well, with a one, it doesn't matter what your bonus is. So you swing down with the rock that says your shitty mother or whatever the hell it says. As you swing down with all this force, Elizabeth Warden effortlessly just grabs your wrist and twists it. She goes, oh, you were going to try to beat me and help your friend escape? Well, I have a plan for that. And she fucking wrenches your wrist and the rock comes out of it.
And then I use my second attack. And then as a bonus, I evoke rage. And with a 17,
okay,
I headbutt her.
Holy shit. Okay, so let me really quickly search D&D Beyond for an enemy stat block that seems to match Elizabeth Warren's kind of vibe.
I literally voted for her. I was so proud. It's like one of the first Democratic primaries I voted in. Elizabeth Warren, this hurts me. I feel like this is a psychological game from Anthony to make us not get into combat or something.
I didn't come up with this name.
That's Will.
What's wild is that she's like an elk too. Like, I can't imagine like her having horns and stuff like that.
She's an elf.
Joey, wait, did you think
wait,
she
this
was
whole time you thought wait, this was an elf? Wait, you know what? No, it's an elk.
Hey,
by the way, Anthony said an elf with suspenders, so you heard an elk with suspenders.
An elk with suspenders, yeah.
Very good.
I thought that she was an elk. Yeah, I guess I didn't think
she's
about...
just an elk. No, she's just the entire time she's been a completely four legs elk who has worked very hard to get where she is
How
right
did
now.
She grab Daryl's wrist with her hoof?
Yeah, the hoof. Yeah. Like,
she catches her hoof.
Daryl's wrist.
Wow.
Let me see if 17 is going to beat. Attackers win ties on attack rolls. And now that I've said that, you know what her AC is. So you successfully headbutt this fucking elk, which is actually way cooler now that we know that she's an elk.
Yeah, now I feel less bad.
And her head reels back. And the knights speak into their wrists. As all this is happening, you hear an alarm start blaring throughout the prison. And with that, we will transition back to Glenn in his private fast time cell. So when we last left you in what we now know as the doo-doo room, you had cast, what was it, banishment?
Banishment, which I gave myself a good week to kind of mull it over. I can't come up with a good real-world explanation for it, so I'm going to say this is what happened. What happened was the reason why Glenn can magically do banishment is that Glenn invested a lot of his time in crystal-based energies as a young man. And, of course, crystals don't work in our world, but okay. He was saving up karmic crystal energy that he didn't even know was in the bank. And so when he cast
all
banishment,
those J.O. crystals finally paid off.
So when he cast banishment, he actually cast a spell without realizing it. It'll happen once. It won't ever happen again because he spent all his built up karma.
You know, it's okay if you cast spells in this game of Dungeons and Dragons. That's allowed.
No. Glenn is not a magic man. He's just good at guitar, likes Christmas music, and built up a lot of spiritual energy that he spent in this world just now.
Okay. When we last left you, you had cast banishment on a guard who had basically the magical doorknob needed to get out of this room. So you are once again inside of a locked room with seemingly no way of getting out.
And the guard called for help, right?
Yes, she did. She spoke into her fantasy equivalent of a wrist mic and basically was like, oh shit, something's happening. You hear a clamor on the other side of the door.
I'd like to perception check or investigate to try and figure out how many sets of footsteps and clamors do I hear on the other
side.
Yeah,
roll perception.
That would be 18 plus 4, 22.
Oh, wow. So you know that it is exactly four sets of footsteps.
Fuck.
You hear them get close, and then you hear the footsteps stop, because that's what people tend to do when they reach a door.
Before they can, like, get the door open, I'm back up in the little alcove again, hoping to maybe do this move again.
Okay, great. And you see a glowing circle appear in the center of the door, and the circle begins to rotate and shimmer. And you hear this like grinding. And after a moment, the circle pops out on your side of the door, like boop, like somebody like magically drilled it through.
I'm thinking like those old cartoons where they like Tom and Jerry, when they break into a glass like thing and they
it's
do
exactly
that perfect
that.
Circle etching of glass. Except when he hits it, the whole door falls down and the circle stays in place. That gag gets me every time, by the way.
It's like when Garfield is like going up to a cake and then he cuts out a single slice of cake and you're like, oh, Garfield's watching his figure. And then he takes all
the
cake
except for that
slice.
Oh, but he's actually getting
the
whole cake. Oh. What is the name of that joke? Because it's one of my favorite jokes.
The inverse cake slice? I don't know.
The small portion of the thing is not the thing that you expected to get moved gets moved. Oh, I love that.
It's
dude,
quality.
How big is the circle that just popped out?
It is basically a cylinder as long as your forearm and about as thick as, well, not your forearm because you're an extremely buff boy, but as thick as a normal nice. Human being's forearm.
So it's like a big tall can of Monster energy drink that came out.
I couldn't have put it better myself. Yeah. You hear some more speaking. They go, get the sleeper.
I want to throw my voice and like pretend to be the guard that I just banished.
Okay.
Well, does throwing your voice confer you the ability to perfectly mimic a voice?
I guess not, but I figure they're hearing me through a hole.
Well, and I will, you do have performance checks, so you can try to
impress. I do have performance.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're listening at me through a can of Monster Energy drink size hole. I have a performance thing. And then also I'm going to cover my mouth a little bit so it sounds like, you know, I'm muffled through the helm. So I figure I would give it a shot.
Yeah, give it a shot. Give me a performance roll.
I'm going to shout down. Oh, no, he somehow escaped and locked me in here. No, quick, open the door. Break the door down.
All right, give me a performance check.
This is disgusting. 15 plus 14.
What?
29.
Jesus.
I got plus 14 on this shit.
Christ
now,
alive. You perfectly mimic my already perfect Cockney accent. And you hear on the other side of the door.
No generational loss. Perfect copies each time.
Exactly. On the other side of the door, you hear, he must have gotten out somehow. Listen. Oh, we got to get the door open. Forget the sleeper. And you hear the sound of something being rolled away. And then you hear...
And Glenn pulls his collar, go, ooh, that was a close one.
You hear deep, loud cha-chunks as the hinges are lifted off. Like, you know how there's that little pin in a hinge that you can sort of lift off if it's an old-style door?
Actually, true for all hinges, for the most part.
Oh, I could just grab a hinge and just, like, or use pliers or whatever? That's cool.
Not pliers. You gotta give it a real shellacking, but yeah. Think about it. How do you think they make a hinge?
Fuck.
Yeah, dude.
The only reason I know that is because of the Drew Barrymore film Ever After, in which Leonardo da Vinci sees that Drew Barrymore has been kidnapped and doesn't have the key, so he just pulls the hinges off of the door, and they go, wow, Leonardo da Vinci goes, yes, I'll go down in history as the man who opened a door. And I'll be like, that's the one thing I'll take away from this film. And it stuck with me. They pull the hinges off the door, the hinge pins off the door, and then sort of like creak the door open, like pulling hard as they can. And the door is open now, and they're streaming in, four strong knight-looking chicks.
And then I'm going to throw my voice and be like, he's got me down here. I'm trapped. He's got me all tight. Come free me quickly.
Why don't you roll both performance and stealth? You're going to need to pass both.
Okay, so performance was a 5 plus 14, 19.
Yeah, so you're never going to fail performance, literally ever. So cool.
And then stealth was a natty 20.
Jesus
plus 8,
Christ.
28. Yes.
All right.
Yes.
So
you've unleashed the beast.
So I
feel powerful.
With your 20, all four guards rush through the doorway beneath you, not noticing you in the arch above them. And they're going, oi, oi, oi. They're just all saying oi a lot, trying to find.
Oi, oi, oi. And then a clank of armor as they descend the stairs.
They basically get to them and go, oi, wait a minute. Where is you?
I'm not even there to hear that because by the time they clear the landing, I've dropped down like a Spider-Man.
All right.
Like Blade, but Spider-Man. I do a Blade pose.
Yes.
I fall from the ceiling. I go straight into the Blade pose. I hold it for like a good full second so my rat friend can see it.
He goes, that's applause if you can't hear that.
And then I'm gonna pop out the door and take a look at, like, what do I see outside the door? I'm getting out of here.
All right.
I'm looking specifically for that thing they rolled out of the way, the sleeper, as they called it.
Yes. So the thing that they rolled out of the way looks to be a large artificial lung, except you know that it's not artificial. It looks to be a large organism that still has somehow some blood pumping through it. It's a lung attached to a very large hose that is also on wheels. And the hose is almost the exact diameter of the Monster Energy drink sized cylinder that they poked out of the door. You can feel it breathing. You can see some like colored air, some smoke within it that is moving around.
I'm going to speak to this organism.
Okay.
And I'm going to like put my forehead on it. And I'm going to go, my friend, do you wish revenge upon those who have enslaved you? And I'm going to try and persuade it to like expel as much sleeping gas into the space behind me as I can as I continue on my trek.
Great. Go ahead and roll persuasion and get your fucking 35 or whatever the fuck you're going to get.
24 total.
So you feel distinctly the sense that this lung, while it does not have the full mental capacity to answer you with words, it vibrates in agreement. And the hose at the end of it begins to point toward the door.
I'm like, Godspeed. And I'm going to continue moving on as it dispels sleeping gas into the space behind me.
So you see the lung begin to compress behind you and pink gas expels from the end of that hose into the cell that you just spent basically 8 years of your life in. And you hear like a, what's that? Oi, we gotta get out of it before we,
Each of the guards has a feather on their face that gets blown up when they exhale, and it almost touches them on the lips, and then they exhale again, so you don't know if they're sleeping. Actually, no, sorry, one of the Japanese, there's a big bubble coming out of its nose.
Big bubble out the nose, yes, very good, very good. And I'm about to run up the stairs, but I stop, and I turn around, and I, like, put a hand on the machine. I say, good work, you've gotten revenge on them. Now it's my turn.
Okay.
And so I assume it's going to stop, like, pushing the gas out.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
I guess the gas is just going to still be there, right?
Yeah, it dissipates after a while, but it'll be there for a while.
Here's what I want to do. I want to hold my breath and, like, run in and, like, try and get dressed in one of the suits of armor.
Okay, yeah. You basically have to wait a pretty long time for it to dissipate, but you can also just do a constitution check or save, I guess, to go in and not fall asleep. It has certainly stopped pumping the gas in, so it won't be as hard as it would have been had it been actively pumping gas in.
Ooh, I only have a plus one. Okay, speaking to my little rat friend, I'm going to be like, sleep with one eye open, and low now. I'm going to hum Metallica to myself to get myself pumped up.
Okay. And the rat is like slowly, like, its head's moving. Head and banging. As you get to the chorus, yes. The head starts fucking banging once you hit the Enter Sandman chorus.
So I give bardic inspiration to my rat friend. And I tell him, if I'm not back, like, pretty soon wearing armor, I need you to come and, like, bite me awake, okay?
So it goes, and nods.
So I'm going to hold my breath and run in now.
Okay.
So it's a
constitution saving throw.
10 plus 1, 11.
You've gone down for, like, surgery or something like that, right? And they're, like, count down from 100.
Yeah.
You know how in the back of your mind, you're like, I want to see how far I can get. And you're like, I could probably get to, like,
yeah.
50
yeah,
or
40.
You're
40. Like, I'm going to get to 1, and it's going to be really awkward. And then by the time you think that, you're, like, awake again, like, done.
So with that same degree of confidence, you run down the stairs. Roll dexterity as you're going down these stairs.
9 plus 3, 12.
So as you're running down the stairs, confident that your strong lungs, your strong legs, and your strong left arm will allow you to survive the sleeping gas that you've suffused this chamber with, it immediately begins to take control of you, and you feel woozy as you go down the stairs, and you trip, and you fall, and you hit your head on the stone floor of the stairs, and above you, you hear a squeak, 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 squeak. And so the rat's going to run after you now, and I'm going to have the rat roll. So the bardic inspiration is an extra, what, D8?
D10 now.
Oh, D10.
Level.
Nice. Okay. Oh, no. It rolled a 3, so I'm going to go ahead and roll that D10.
No!
Actually, it doesn't matter, because it's not going to be 15 no matter what. An 8. The rat goes, and then starts rushing into the cell worriedly. And it has just enough time to see you on the ground with a very, very small, not so much that you should be worried, but a very small pool of blood near your temple. And it goes, squeak! And then just sort of falls over and falls in the exact same way that you fell and tumbled down the stairs. And it somehow manages to land exactly such that it looks like the two of you are spooning, and it's very cute.
Like right under my hand.
Yeah, right under your hand. It just perfectly slides through. So you hear footsteps coming down the stairs. A couple of guards see you and they go, oh, looks like an escape attempt. Oh, look at him cuddling. That rat is so cute.
And they take a deep breath and...
I'm going to roll a die.
Am I going to single-handedly remove every guard from this prison with this accidental hitman-esque trap?
Yeah, it's like in Hitman when you just like set the fucking puzzle to electrocute and people just keep coming, checking the bodies and getting electrocuted. So with a 9 constitution roll, those two guards fall asleep as well and just
and they clang down into the pile of bodies at the bottom of the stairs here.
And then presumably an indeterminate amount of time later, you hear more people like, oh, what's all this then? But these ones, I think, see the sleeper. They see a bunch of guards asleep. I think they're going to stay on the outside of the door, and they go, somebody's got to get the doorman here. We need to fix this door.
Oh, they got a whole new door?
Yeah, the doorman comes in and builds a door.
So you're telling me that they have sealed me in here with six other of the guards?
Yeah. You were sealed in with 6 guards, and the process of them building this door takes a few years.
What? What? No, come on! Andy, I had it! I was out!
You went back in!
I was fucking out! You gave me a ridiculous check!
I didn't
and
say go
friend.
Back inside the place with the sleeping gas. I didn't even say turn the sleeping gas on!
You
Dungeons and Daddies is Matt Arnold as Daryl Wilson, Anthony Birch as our DM, Will Campos as Henry Oak, Beth May as Ron Stampler, Jimmy Wong as Jody Foster, and myself, Freddie Wong as Glenn Close. Theme song and outro is All Right by Maxson Waller. Courtney Thurand is our content producer. Ashley Nicolette is our community manager. And Robin Rapp is our transcriber. Beth May is our resident poet laureate, and she has her debut book of poetry out February 12th. Are you kidding me? It's called The Immortal Soul Salvage Yard. You can check it out now by clicking the link in the episode description or pre-order it on Amazon at bit.ly/bethpoems. Support the arts. Check out her book of poems. Order the book of poems. Enrich your life with poetry in the same way our fine patrons enrich our lives. So shout out to Aubrey Tucker, Curtis, Void, there's a zero there instead of an O, but I don't know how to pronounce that. Amy Ninneman, Lee Martinez, Lachlan Doherty, Chris Chevrier, Justin Muna, Kevin Linares, Lizette Chapa, Matt Snyder, Ali D, Sean Clavin, David Burnett, Serena H, Zeladina, Cassandra Chan, Bonnie Sams, Diego Martinez, and Melissa Mendez. Thank you all so much. Our Patreon is at patreon.com/dungeonsanddads. There's tons of great extras on there. This month, we're going to start doing some daddy adventure modules for all you DMs, which are custom crafted 5e compatible daddy shenanigans that you can run in your own campaigns. That's at the elite level. There's plenty of awesome extra stuff at every level. Get ready this month too, because we're going to be releasing the stretch goal bonus Gungans and Daddies, all that jizz set in the Star Wars universe, which has nothing to do with the current campaign where we follow a jizz band who witnesses a terrible crime as they evade bounty hunters and get into all kinds of Star Wars shenanigans. Matt's character, by the way, I think is going to be a fan favorite. That's patreon.com/dungeonsanddads, and you will get this campaign for free if you support us at any level when it comes out later this month. Check out our merch at bit.ly/dadmerch, and that's in all caps. Follow us on Twitter, Dungeons and Dads, reddit.com/r/dungeonsanddaddies for the subreddit. Thank you so much for listening. Next episode's coming at you February 22nd, so we'll see you then. There was a time when you could read between the lines. You know they never brought you down. Never brought you down.
Is the guard just sort of like cross-legged, head guard sitting comes on the and chair?
Goes, what are you guys? I can't do a Bernie impression. Never mind. Keep going.
What are you guys doing in here?
Oh, nice. With mittens? That's funny.
I look at the
that's
guard and I say, funny. I'm once again asking for your help and getting our friend out. Oh, God. This is insufferable.
Dungeons and Dice is brought to you this week by Mint Mobile.
It is?
Oh, wait,
Ryan, we're back.
We love you. We missed back. You. We're sorry.
We may, come back. Ryan. We may have stepped out on you in international.
I don't believe that Ryan has a cell phone, because he would have called back at this point.
Hey, listen, Ryan, you told me all about those overpriced wireless providers and how there's always a catch. Well,
and we got 5 tickets to a certain movie coming out pretty
soon. Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah,
right. When I heard that Deadpool v. Wolverine was coming out, I called all my friends on their Mint Mobile
accounts.
Oh,
I was talking about Challengers. I'm so excited about that tennis movie.
I'm sure Ryan would love to watch it with you.
Yes.
Mint Ryan, Mobile, call us. I said to my friends, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. I thought, what's the catch? But there isn't one, you fool. Mint Mobile secret sauce, they sell wireless service online, which means that they don't have retail stores. They don't have to buy those kiosks in malls, and they pass those sweet mall savings directly onto you. I have Mint Mobile on my phone. I duo queue it. I got multiple lines. It's great.
Wow.
That's fantastic. And by the way, I'm more often than not, honestly, my normal phone is kind of like not as good service.
How many phones do
you have? You can have. Hey, modern phones allow you to put multiple.
Stepping out on us with other podcasts.
Oh my gosh. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans. Jaw-dropping monthly bills and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you.
Imagine 20's calling on that other cell phone.
With premium wireless plans starting at $15 a month.
Freddie, we want you back.
All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan like me and bring your phone number along with all of your existing contacts. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/dungeons. That's mintmobile.com/dungeons. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/dungeons.
That was a great ad read, Daddy. Can you read it again?
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower, above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. Dungeons and Dads is brought to you this week by Aura Frames. Are you looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life?
All the moms.
The moms, the MILFs.
How come none of these
moms I'd like to frame.
Aura frames are beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame.
Hey, Aura, challenge accepted on unlimited photos.
Unlimited. You can personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. For Mother's Day, it's your great Mother's Day gift. You know what I mean? Just send her some pictures of you doing stuff. From grandmothers to new mothers. Okay. Well, no, like activities. From grandmothers to new mothers.
Activities we're talking about here.
Aunts and even the friends in your life. Every mom loves
friends.
And named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages. There's a lot of things that can bring joy to moms of all ages.
Nice.
Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's Aura, A-U-R-A, frames.com. Use the code DUNGEONS at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.